just told you, the title of my sermonette is indeed Truths, and I think it'll be clear as we go forth why I chose that title. A few weeks ago, my son Nicholas, who may think that I don't always listen to what he's saying, was telling us about something they had covered in his world history class. And it's always fascinating subjects that he's shared with us, but this was particularly meaningful, and I had remembered hearing about it when I was maybe his age or a little older. But he was referring to a wonderful phenomenon that had occurred, and it was a situation of spontaneous expressions of peace that had broken out in the early days of World War I back in 1914. The stage was set in the winter months in the trenches of France for ongoing pitched battles between the Allies and Germany. And this time frame just happened to be around the December holiday period, a time in Europe that was pretty commonly shared among the people, regardless of their background. And it was very important to those people. And I think we've seen that over the years. We've seen that happen in those countries, whether it was France, Germany, Russia, England, or even some of the smaller countries that were part of that war. And the stories may vary, but the primary message is this, and whether it was just one that had started it, but he was heard singing a carol that was well known among German, French, and British families at the time, historically. And these were families who sent sons to France to fight, sons sent by France to France by their leaders to fight to the death. You know, something that we know is so horrible and abhorrent to all of us. And as the melody was heard during a lull in fighting, other soldiers from across the trenches joined in. And before long, soldiers were crossing the front to wish each other well during the holiday season, just as if they had been in a pub or at a game, a football game. That kind of a dynamic. So they had ceased their fighting and they were exchanging food, greetings, souvenirs. They were burying their dead, caring for their wounded, all together. And it was just something that their leaders certainly came to be aware of and were not necessarily very happy about, but something that transcended the politics of the day. These were just human beings in the normal course of life, realizing they much would rather be in peace and sharing food and good wishes with one another. The following year, in 1915, several fighting units actually arranged ceasefires during this time, but the truces were not quite as widespread as in that first year of 1914. And why is that? I'm sure we can kind of get, and I gave you a bit of a hint. Well, once commanders became aware and more involved, the natural inclination of soldiers to seek peace may not have been what the leaders wanted. However temporary, it was overshadowed by the leaders, who most often have very little skin in the game, so to speak, which is very, very sad. These periods of truce were not limited to shared holidays, but the men at the front found that they had more in common with their enemy, their so-called enemy, across the trenches than they did with their commanders, and certainly more than with the politicians of the day and the complexities of the time, which we know there were many causes of that conflict, that war, but we know who was behind it all. Who's behind all of the conflicts and wars and strife in this world? Satan, of course. But this was described still in 1915 as a time to live and let live. And it's so sad when you think about how it broke out spontaneously among people, these men, and how I'm sure they were just longing for this to continue. Imagine that feeling in the trenches when they were singing and sharing food and good wishes, and how they must have wanted, just like we feel here, especially at this time of the year when we're together. And John Amorelli just said to me, boy, when we reach this point in the feast, you start feeling like you're on that slide going downhill to the end of the feast. And I can imagine those men feeling like just wanting to hold on to that peace together, but not being able to. This natural state of curiosity for one's fellow human seems that it is driven by the desire to be at peace with one another. And in Hebrews 12 and in verse 14, we read, let's again, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This perfectly described what was taking place among those soldiers. The natural inclination when people can know one another not to fight, but to seek peace. Now, sadly, this may not extend to the leaders of nations, that, as we've seen in very recent time with the leaders of Russia and even Ukraine. They may not be seeking peace. There were opportunities for it, but that time is unfortunately past. And without Jesus Christ's return, that won't be the case. They are not thinking of the innocent people killed by their bombs, nor about their own soldiers whose lives they used just like the bullets they send across the lines. As those called by God to the truth, we see through the hollow efforts by the political leaders to claim moral high ground, as though there is moral high ground in war, as though one side may be better than the other and more justified than another, that is just ludicrous. The other side always are the savages in the eyes of themselves. We see the current state of affairs clearly illustrated in 2 Timothy 3 and verses 1 through 7. And let's read these together. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And in verse 7, wrapping it up, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That particular verse really made me think quite a bit. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. To me, that strikes a clear light on what's wrong with the world, that a world that is not governed by Jesus Christ and led by God. It's a world, if you will, that's just driven by its whatever it perceives its knowledge to be and its clarity of the world that they perceive to be true. But it is not knowledge of the truth by any means. It is this disregard for God's creations that people inherently grow weary of, which is a wonderful thing, that they actually grow weary of it. What we just read in 2 Timothy is sadly quite an accurate list of the characteristics, and I'll just own my own government, say of our own government here in the United States. That is what characterizes where we are. Truce breakers indeed. There was a time when it may have been possible to resolve the killing of civilians, even in Ukraine. However, mankind loves war, as we know, and we've seen and heard in past sermonettes and sermons, and killing too well. They just like that. Profits for all the right people, so to speak, are also the spoils of war. This is never directed to the victims of the wars by any means. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 11, we read, "Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Earlier in the chapter, we see how Peter sets the stage with specific requirements for this by providing meaningful guidance to be able to work towards perfection, which is our goal, which we cannot achieve until we are changed when Jesus returns. So I want to continue now in 1 Peter 3, but I'm going back up to verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. It is foolish to expect the world to follow this guidance at this time, though it would be lovely, and as God's people, we are called to do just that, to strive for this together. We strive for this indeed, and we will have our setbacks, and we can always do better with one another, with ourselves. When we do, we can be more like the people that Jesus describes when he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God."